Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday. Let's go.
New intro. Who dis?
Well, not exactly a new intro.
Ish.
Well, I mean, you know, not a new open.
Not a new open.
I have not put in the production
work
just yet.
We've switched from Sports Sunday officially, and here we are, Football Sunday.
I'm a busy man.
To go.
I'm a busy man, all right? I was planning to make a new open for the 2024-2025 rendition of Football Sunday, but football. Football got in the way.
It really has been in the way. I didn't have a productive Saturday, I'll be honest.
Damn you, football!
We're going to do this every week.
Thursday, Friday, yesterday, and then we got today. Boy, do we have today.
Oh, man. Today is kicking off.
My God.
Man, with a bang.
I woke up. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And then within 30 minutes, bam, bam, bam. Like, five different stories come out that I'm just like, oh, my God.
Juicy.
What? Mm-hmm. As Mike Lynch once said. That is already a wild morning. I do want to preface this by saying I want to do things a little bit differently going forward on Football Sunday. Is that because in years past, usually we'll kick things off going Ducks, Beavs, college football, you know, obviously the local stuff immediately. But seeing as our show starts at 9 o'clock and we have an hour until kickoff, I would like to go NFL from 9 to 10.
Yeah.
And then have college football, Ducks, Beavs from 10 to 11.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
I feel like it's a better way to structure the show.
Why not?
Get hyped for
kickoff. We just always, and mind you, that was never like the we just always kind of did that. I don't know why, for whatever reason.
Well, I understand
it. Even just dating back, it was always like, okay, talk Ducks, talk the local stuff, probably because it just happened, yesterday. And so that's kind of like, get that part out of the way.
Oh, I get it. And honestly, this Football Sunday, like, this is one of those where it's like, there is so much that has happened within the last hour that you really can't start with Ducks and Beavers. Like, there is,
I don't think you want to start with Ducks.
My God.
Anyway, so, for being honest.
I see a 2 in that win column, all right? I see a number
Shut
2,
up.
Rashad.
I mean, I do too, but I also see a, man,
Could
be 1-1. Could be 0-1,
I hereby decree that the Ducks never play a team from the state of Idaho ever again.
No
in
potatoes.
In the history of history, please.
Yeah. I mean, we talked that out good till like 1 a.m. too. So
I was thinking of you guys last night once that game went final. I'm like, my God, they are not going to go on air probably until 11:30, 11:45, possibly midnight, and they're not getting out of there until 1:32.
Well, imagine if Zappington missed that field goal too. I randomly had the thought yesterday morning. I'm like, it's going to be a weird ass like overtime game between Oregon and Boise State tonight, isn't it? It was so close to actually coming true.
And damn close.
You know, nobody thinks about, like, you know, usually I think a lot of announcers and commentators and, you know, sideline reporters, all those people, I think they enjoy the game, right? You enjoy being there. But when it's a close game like that and it's already late, I'm sure a lot of them are like, ugh. There have been some games that I'm at, even doing like the Schwab at points, and I'll be like, oh, it's like,
gotta go.
It's like, it's the game went long. Like, there was an overtime in the couple games before. So now it's like 9 o'clock, and we're just now getting started with the championship game. We're not going to be out of here till like 11. Like,
and I had that.
That sucks.
I had that itis last night.
Oh, yeah?
That itis. Yeah. The nacho itis.
Oh, yeah. That'll get you every time.
The lady, Kahlua pork nachos for the
game. I was
going
to ask what the topping was, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She had some Kahlua pork.
Sign me up.
Nice thing about dating a Hawaiian chick. She's got that Kahlua pork on deck.
Oh, you're going to get your fix of your, Hawaiian grinds, brother.
Oh, yeah. She had all the accoutrements, everything, you know, sliced jalapenos, olives.
Oh, my God.
The new season's dips to throw on there.
Hawaiian Get some macaroni salad.
Hawaiian too. Food is an underrated genre of food. I think people, you know, I think people like it, but like if it comes up as far as like Mexican, Italian, you know, yeah. American based Hawaiian food.
I hear what you're saying. I feel like someone needs to like chime in and be like, hello, anybody going to rep Hawaiian food here? And then people are like,
I don't think you're going to find many people who's like, yeah, I'm not a fan. You know, I think there's something for everyone. And obviously if you're a pork fan, you know, take your pick, but. Yeah, man, I think Hawaiian food is criminally underrated.
All right, I want to dive into some football stuff right away because this is one of those days where it's like, how do we only have 2 hours? Like, it is the first NFL Sunday, wild college football Saturday. We already have two NFL games in the books, but I want to start with our poll question that I put up. Football Sunday poll question brought to you by Tyreek Hill Police Academy. What are you most excited to see? Caleb Williams' debut, return of Aaron Rodgers, and for some reason I put apostrophe S on the end of Rodgers, Kirkers and the Falcons, or Bo Nix versus Seahawks. Overwhelming right now on the 1080 The Fan poll question on Twitter, Bo Nix versus Seahawks, running away with it at 67.9%.
Can I add the cop to be suspended or fired that slammed Tyreek Hill to the ground this morning?
Oh, dude. We're going to get into that.
We're going to get to that.
You know what I want to do? Is I want to do like a quick, can I get the horns? Can we get the horns going?
Oh, you want an NFL, like...
Oh, we're going to go matchup by matchup right now, like...
So bells or horns? Or is
bells, horns, either way.
There we go.
Woo!
Early, early.
Let's go. I'm running through all the matchups that we got here on this NFL Sunday. The first one I see on the docket, Steelers versus Falcons. We got Kirk Cousins, his first appearance as the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons after tearing his Achilles. And this just came out as news today. That the Pittsburgh Steelers will not have Russell Wilson starting that quarterback. It will be Justin Fields.
Crazy that Russ decided, for whatever reason, for ankle tightness, I think it is.
Calf tightness.
That he's going to sit out on his first game. I think Russ,
yes, he decided.
He has the least to prove from that list that, you know, that we had last week. You know, however, I think Russ still has a whole lot to prove to a lot of people in the NFL. So, you know, maybe Justin Fields having a great first game could be great for the ego and great for the team morale there in Pittsburgh. But, yeah, let's see what Kirkers does on that Achilles, man. I think Michael Penix Jr. is just licking his chops on the sidelines waiting for something to go down.
A lot of Steelers fans are getting their wish today.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Next up, Cardinals at Buffalo Bills. Kyler Murray, full season under his belt, hopefully this year. The Cardinals looked to be a little bit better this season, but granted, they were god-awful last year. Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's the name.
The first start for him, rookie wide receiver, going up against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who will be very intriguing to watch. Somewhat of this new shaped offense, at least with no Stephon Diggs. And we'll see how Josh Allen looks without his number one target on the field. And we're Buffalo, 6.5-point favorites at home.
And that sounds about right. You know, we're still not sure what the rookie Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be able to do. We know how good Kyler Murray can be if he's locked in. And so I think that's the big question for that team. Buffalo, this new look Buffalo, you mentioned no Stephon Diggs, is going to be a huge blow to this offense. The defense is still trying to figure things out, I think, but Buffalo's still one of those teams to beat in the AFC, but I think this should be not a relatively easy game for them at home, but a game that they should win.
Kyler Murray's my fantasy quarterback, so I'll be rooting hard for the Arizona Cardinals season long.
Next on the docket, your Patriots, Rashad, going up against the Cincinnati Bengals, who they just got the news this morning that Ja'Marr Chase found a cure for his illness that had developed over the last couple of days.
Mm.
I think the illness was doesn't have a new contract itis.
There it is.
And he will be playing today for the Cincinnati Bengals. No one is happier than Joe Burrow because I'm pretty sure, if I remember hearing correctly earlier in the season, that T. Higgins will not be playing. Yeah, T. Higgins is out today, so at least Joe Burrow has one of his wide receiver options playing. But the Bengals, a big favorite at home, -7.5. That one kicks off at 10 a.m.
Yeah, well, not getting the contract itis has kept a lot of dudes on the sideline, but Jamar Chase is a competitor.
It's contagious, I hear.
Yeah, right. You know, that's what I've heard. You know, CTC, you know, cut the check. You know, otherwise most guys aren't playing. So luckily for Burrow, who, you know, looks like the cupboards are kind of bare, receiver has at least his number one out there to try to make some stuff happen. Obviously, he's got some weapons, but you know, not having T. Higgins there, I think, is a big deal for this Bengals team that's trying to regroup and get back on track from where they were a couple years ago.
Shout out to the mustache of the Midway, Jerry, over at Jerry's Tavern, because it is his new look Bears.
Yeah.
Going up against the Titans. Head over to Jerry's at 10 a.m. I'm pretty sure they'll be open. He'll have Bears on the TV because, boy, this is one of the more anticipated matchups of the day. Not because of the teams, but just to see number one pick overall, Caleb Williams, in his professional NFL debut. Bears are a favorite. It is at home. And I am very intrigued to see what happens with Caleb Williams in this matchup.
I am as well. You know, also, I have Roma Dunze on my fantasy team. I'm excited to see how that works. I'm excited to see what this offense looks like after watching Hard Knocks for about 5 weeks. So I'm intrigued by Caleb Williams. I think he's a great young quarterback, and I think he gets it. I think he gets it off top as far as what his job is and what he's supposed to do. Tennessee, first year without Derrick Henry. We'll see how that works out, you know, for them. Will Levis is clearly the face of the franchise at this point. I saw a mayonnaise commercial with him the other day that just weirded me out, you know.
Do you not know about
I know exactly why.
He's a freak.
Yeah, I know exactly why. But
he's a sick, sick individual.
But it's your first game of your rookie year at home, you know, 12 or 1 a.m. kick or 1 p.m. kick, excuse me. I like the Bears in that one.
That is 10 a.m., my friend.
Is it 10 a.m.?
Yeah, that
10
is 10
a.m. for us. Okay, yeah. Excuse me.
You're on the Eastern time. We're in the Pacific's Pacific Daylight Time, I believe it is. PDT,
tomatoes,
baby.
Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Texans at Colts. A little AFC South matchup. Texans off of their playoff season with C.J. Stroud going up against Colts. Anthony Richardson, who a lot of people are intrigued to see how he does this season. He had a very short stint last year before getting shut down. Interesting couple of games, very athletic. Body is insane as far as how it is built. He's like a 6'4", 225 quarterback, just chiseled out of marble. Some people are really high on him. Some people are questioning how he's going to perform this season. But Texans-Colts, 10 a.m.
I actually really like Anthony Richardson. It sucked to see him, you know, kind of go down last year and get to finish the season. But I think there's a lot to be expected from this Colts team in that AFC South. So this is going to be a great matchup, you know, division matchup. Everybody's really, really high on the Texans. We'll see if they'll have a sophomore slump this year for C.J. Stroud. But it should be a good game, man. But I'm going to go ahead and say Anthony Richardson, hopefully he has a good game that we can all talk about for the rest of the week.
Yeah, what a start that would be for the Colts if they're able to knock off the Texans week one. Definitely a great way to start their season. In Florida, a matchup of Floridian teams, Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Miami Dolphins, who will have Tyreek Hill. You may be wondering, wait, was that ever in question? Was there some sort of injury? The dude was detained by police this morning.
Oh, I think detained is taking it lightly.
Yeah, no kidding.
He was jacked up some police earlier.
He was on his way to the stadium, apparently pulled over for reckless driving. Shocker, he was not very happy with the police when that happened.
Well,
the police were not happy with his response, therefore leading to him being cuffed on the ground, face on the ground. As Rashad said, that is probably a very expensive wife beater. Givenchy, possibly.
It has to be. We're just Hanes.
We've got a Scotty Scheffler 2 electric boogaloo thing going on here.
Yeah, that was crazy. A little excessive. I mean, if you haven't seen the video, it's everywhere now, so I'm pretty sure you will by the time we're done with this segment.
Yeah.
But it's kind of one of those things that could. I think he's still playing tonight.
Oh yeah,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was arrested and released.
That's, you know, that's.
I thought
insane.
I was just detained.
Detained, yes.
And cited. Big difference between being detained and arrested.
That's a big way to start off the first game of the season. This can either be really, really good for Jacksonville, or it could be really, really bad.
Oh, he's going off for 250.
This can be one of the two, so we'll see what happens.
And this is the matchup that everybody's excited about. Catch the Fever for some Panthers versus Saints, baby.
Oh, that's the one I thought you were talking about. Yeah, seriously. I can't wait for that one. That's going to be a great game. But no, I think, you know, Bryce Young still growing in his position as quarterback there in Carolina. Still a lot to learn. We still don't know what we're going to get from David Carr and the Saints team. Everything's just kind of up.
You say David?
Derek Carr. Freudian slip.
Let's go.
Shout out to David. Derek Carr, we still don't know what we're going to get from him and the Saints team at this point. So I think this is one of those games that, you know, you're going to watch because it's on, but you're not going to really care much about. But I do expect Derek Carr to be a better player today at home. So, yeah, give me the Saints now.
Andy Dalton will be in starting regularly by week 10.
Whoa, hot take.
Hot.
Vikings-Giants, boy, expect a lot of offensive firepower in that one. Over-under set at 41.5, slight foreshadowing to one of my Who Do You Love picks. Vikings and Giants, 10 a.m. Let's just skip that.
Yeah, I mean, let's just that's a game that I think even New York fans are going to be like, you know, aren't the Colts playing right now? I don't think even Giants fans are excited for this game. But somebody's got to win, and Daniel Jones, to say you have a lot to prove is a massive understatement. Like, Daniel Jones has been...
Talk to Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Daniel Jones has been less than average at best, and I think this might be his last year before he's actually considered a number one.
So that is the 10 a.m. slate. For the sake of time, let's take a break, and we'll get to some of these 1 o'clock games here in a bit, but there's things going on in the NFL today. A lot of things. And one of them includes the very colors and garb that I am wearing today. In fact, Jordan made a point that I might be having to pay money to this team to help fund this contract now, because it is official. There is a quarterback under contract for 4 more years in Dallas. We get to that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Well, just a few hours before kickoff, the Dallas Cowboys have given Dak Prescott what he wanted, and that is a new contract, a record-breaking contract. 4 years, $240 million, $231 of that guaranteed. It is the most on a per-year annual basis. It is the most guaranteed money given to a player by $1 million. $1 million more than Deshaun Watson, who, ironically, those two players are going to be playing against each other today, the Cowboys versus the Browns, which is a very odd week one matchup for the Cowboys. Usually, you know, for the most part, they have put them on like Sunday nights against the Giants or against the Buccaneers or the 49ers or something like that. So them playing the Browns week one is very just like, as a Cowboys fan watching them over the years, is very like, wait, what? We're playing the Browns week one?
Yeah, they're not that good. I'm just joking. Like, yeah, but I mean,
why you gotta do that?
Here's the cool part. That makes me happy, because the Cowboys are like the Lakers. Even when they're not good, they're on TV all the time, and it's really frustrating.
Well, you know who? You know who's calling the game? Your boy.
Is it Brady?
Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy's calling the game.
Yeah.
They have so many promos for Tom Brady calling this game. Like,
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, yeah. There was a whole, like, a one on Fox yesterday where it was, like, his former selves, like, in Patriots and Buccaneers and Michigan uniforms, like, hyping him up, like,
awesome
about this. And then it was, like, a young Tom Brady in a 49ers uniform. And And it's like, Brady is back.
I'm
like, he's not playing. He's just calling the game.
I'm concerned about that, though. What if Tom's not good at something, right? Like, what if it's a struggle, you know, for Brady to be out there? Like, after listening to somebody like Romo and just hearing how good he is, you know, at certain things, especially like...
Or Colt McCoy yesterday during the Nebraska-Colorado game.
Oh, that was a little bit of a... I mean, first time out, but...
I only heard... Exactly. You know, like, you've been used to being great at this one thing for a really long time, and now you have to shift. I think it's a tough thing for those guys to do, but we'll see.
I think you can tell he's not a talker, but I digress. That's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we're definitely going down a rabbit hole, but my God, Colt McCoy, that was... unbearable to listen to yesterday. But the Cowboys, they have paid Dak. I mean,
show me the money.
I have mixed feelings about the whole situation. I've loved Dak ever since he came into the league. I wanted the Cowboys to draft Dak when he came into the league, about, you know, when he was available third, fourth round. I think even before the draft, I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind them drafting Dak Prescott. He's a winner. He did great at Mississippi State, and they ended up taking him. And look where he is now. One of the best quarterbacks in Cowboys history. And now the highest paid of all time. But this all just feels like a moot point for regular season success. Like, especially after last year. I mean, that Packers game broke me. As you can tell, if you're looking at me on the YouTube stream wearing a Cowboys hat and Cowboys sweatshirt, I am a completely broken Cowboys fan. But for real, it's like this season is very much like what if they go like 17-0? Cool. And then they win or they lose the first playoff game. Like, and that is the biggest problem I have with Dak and the Cowboys, is that you can pay all these guys, but what does it amount to at the end of the season, year after year? And Rashad, you made a point during the commercial break. It's like, what are you going to do? Like, what are your other options? Like, just let them walk and then roll with either Trey Lance or draft a quarterback? I mean, I don't know. I just have such mixed feelings because Dak is my guy. Love him. Love him as the leader of this team. But it's like, what are we going to see over the next 4 years, 5 years? Because you got this season and then you got the 4 years after. So I am in such a, of course, with it being NFL Sunday week one, I am in a lot of mixed feelings. You have excitement for the season. You look at the roster. Hey, I think we might have a pretty good team this year. But again, I know how this story ends year after year, and it's always in disappointment. So to pay $60 million a year for disappointment, I don't know how to feel about it.
I mean, you can pay $60 million a year for, you know, Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson or one of those other free agent quarterbacks that's coming up this summer instead of Dak. And I think it's almost like being a Blazer fan, right? I think as Blazer fans, we know a lot about that. And at least in that, you know, those years that we were really bad, at least we had Dame, you know, at least we had like a Brandon Roy for one of them. So like, you know, at least you had like something to smile about. And I think that's where you are right now as a Cowboys fan. You have the highest paid quarterback in the league, a guy who, you know, could have won MVP if Lamar Jackson didn't have, you know, the season that he had last year. You know, so I think for Dallas as a fan, I mean, looking at it differently, like, you guys still have a really solid team, an incredibly solid team. The defense is still good. Your offense is still good. The running back position is still kind of the biggest question mark that you would have right there.
Hey, but it would have been a cool running back group like 5 years ago, Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott.
And maybe it could be, you know, now. You know, you don't really – we don't really know anything. But I think Dallas is going to be better than – you think they are, but again, that playoff success is the part that's the head scratcher. And I think 49er fans are having the same kind of conundrum. Like, we're clearly good. We're clearly the best team, you know, around as far as pieces are concerned, but we just can't get over the finish line. Like, I know there's a lot of frustration there. I wouldn't know. My team, you know, won a whole lot, but now I get to be one of those fans that knows that you're not doing anything for a long time.
What are you talking about? You have Drake May.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, Jacoby Brissett for a little bit, then Drake May.
Yeah, that's right.
See,
I'm not confident about that one either, so we'll see.
And there's part of me that I have never seen the Cowboys get into a state in their franchise where they need to go quarterback early in the first round, like a top five pick, top three pick, and they have the option to select the best quarterback in the class. I haven't seen it. I mean, it's something that – they haven't drafted a quarterback in the first round since Troy. And, like, it's – so that is where I am like, man, it would be nice to, I don't know, have an opportunity to draft a high prospect at quarterback. Now, Dak, he fell into the Cowboys' arms, and it's worked out great from a regular season standpoint. The Cowboys are always in contention. But, again, it's just – I'm so, like, sick of the – regular season accolades and how everything has gone great during the regular season, 12 straight wins. And this is more of a franchise problem than Dak's problem.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we saw him last year in the playoff game against Green Bay. He was shook.
And I think a lot of it is a lot of it was Dak in that game, yes. However, as a franchise, their owner is Cuckoo Cuckoo. That guy
is
off the reservation.
There's nobody that could do the job better than him.
Apparently, according to him, you know. So, but it's crazy. I think the rest of the world, the football world that aren't Cowboy fans, look at it like, no, there's a lot of people that can do that job, you know, a little bit better than you. And when you have an owner who's also the GM and the spokesman and, you know, everything else for the coach at points, you know, as far as inserting his offense or his ideas into what's going to be carried out on the field. Like, I just think Jerry Jones, and nothing's going to change until he retires, which I don't think is going to happen.
Or dies.
I mean,
he's like 80 something,
you know, that's the way, you know, things kind of look, you know, for the Cowboys at this point. So it's a tough spot to be in because, you know, he's not going to quit. And apparently he's not going to die either. So, I mean, and granted, I'm knocking on wood here. You know, don't want him to.
But that was fake marble. So,
yeah, I don't know. There's wood somewhere,
well,
you know.
There goes Jerry.
knock on my head here. But it's a tough situation if you're a Cowboys fan because, again, as a roster, I think you're straight, right? You know, I think when you look up and down and you look at all the Pro Bowl and all pro names and stuff like that, it's like, man, you've got a solid squad. Like, so it's just, are they going to be healthy enough and are they going to be cunning enough, I guess, is the main thing to really get that first playoff win. Because I think once they get that one over that hump, they'll be fine.
Well, and they've gotten a couple with Dak. It's just getting past the divisional round. Get to a conference championship.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, I will not believe what I see with this team until I see the clock strike zero in a divisional round game and the Cowboys have the lead. Like, once that happens, I mean, like, that is the bar. You have not made a conference championship game since 97, I believe.
It's a long time.
It's a long-ass time.
It's a long time.
So, again, good for Dak, now highest paid quarterback in the NFL, guaranteed money per annual, saw it coming, who's next on the list, we don't know.
That's not a tag I want, though. I mean, granted, it'd be great to have, you know, highest paid anything, but it feels like now it's just a tag, and now it's just come with a lot more expectation for Dak and the Cowboys. Like, if he comes out and has a so-so season, you know, 20 touchdowns and, you know, they win 10 games, like, people are going to instantly start saying he's overpaid, overrated, start pocket checking. But I don't know, man. I think that comes with a lot of additional pressure that, again, I'm not sure. I think Dak can handle, but can the Cowboys?
Well, the question is now, who's next? Is Brock Purdy going to be a $65 million per year man
he's
here
been
soon?
To the championship game. Why wouldn't you?
These salaries got to stop climbing at some point because we were just hearing, it's like every Bengals receiver now saying that they want significantly more money than J. Jeff just got and CD just got. So what, 75 million, 80 million? Like, when is this going to stop?
Yeah, Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, they all got 55 million per year with their new deals. So as the seasons go, as the months turn into the next month, as the calendar keeps on going, another quarterback gets paid. And this time it is Dak Prescott becoming the highest paid quarterback player in NFL history. We move along. A lot of things to get to before this NFL Sunday kicks off at 10 a.m. But of course, I mean, why not start off the NFL Sunday with a player getting detained by police? Wide receiver drama as well as another wide receiver in the NFL. He found a cure for his illness just in time before kickoff. We get to all the headlines of this NFL Sunday 30 minutes before kickoff on week one, the first NFL Sunday of the year. Sports Sunday, Football Sunday, Rashad Taylor, Joe Fisher, and first, Schultzy with a Sports Center update. All right. I need a cig. I don't even smoke cigarettes. And especially after the last couple of weeks of Ducks football this morning, I need to rip a heater.
I'm on 5 hours of sleep, so yeah, I could use a couple of those as well. Let's go.
Let me read this to you. So all before 10 a.m., all before kickoff this morning, Dak Prescott becomes highest paid NFL player in history. Justin Fields starting after Russell Wilson ruled out. Ja'Marr Chase playing without new deal after magically having an illness over the last couple of days amid all this contract drama. Tyreek Hill detained by police outside of stadium, still playing versus Jaguars. And the most important of all, Kendrick Lamar announced as the Super Bowl halftime artist.
Well, let's go.
I know. What a morning. But I do want to go to Miami because I don't know if anybody had that on their bingo card as far as a NFL player getting arrested, excuse me, detained on the way to the stadium this morning. As Tyreek Hill was on his way just a couple blocks outside. And also, if Jeff Darlington, ESPN reporter, is anywhere near a sporting event that you are supposed to be playing in or participating in, just know it's not going to end up well now. That is two incidents this summer. One was Scottie Scheffler that Jeff Darlington was outside of the gates for when Scottie Scheffler got detained and arrested. And then now this with Tyreek Hill. If you see Jeff Darlington and you are a professional athlete, just know something bad is about to go down. Yeah, just exactly. Turn around.
Run to the stadium.
Leave immediately.
Run to the event.
The cops on him. Like, get this guy out of here immediately, please.
It's unfortunate for Tyreek Hill. You know, I mean, nobody wants to go through that, especially, you know, on such a big day like the, you know, first game of the season. You know, this is a pretty huge day for everybody that's involved, for everybody in the franchise, and to kind of have this weighing on your mind as you go in there. Then if you look at the tape, like, officers are way out of line, I'm not going to go that whole route today, you know, not this morning. However, like, it was excessive. We'll just go ahead and say that at the very least, man, everything was a little excessive. I expect some suspensions or some firings or something like that. I expect, doesn't mean it's going to happen, you know, but
looks ridiculous.
It's, you know, there's not much you can, there's no reason to have four police officers to have this man on the ground face down on the ground for
reckless driving. Yeah. Which, what is that? Like, I think 20 to 25 over, depending on the state that you're in. And technically, you should tell everybody that is an arrestable offense. However, that is rarely.
Driving a Ferrari? Like, how am I supposed to, like?
Yeah, they're going to ticket you, of course, but that is rarely something that cops use to haul you off to the slammer.
Give me the ticket.
Yeah.
Like, let me move forward or anything like that. Like,
sources told ESPN's Jeff Darlington that Hill was stopped for speeding and then got into a verbal altercation with police and was subsequently placed in handcuffs. Do I want to go devil's advocate here? If a cop tells you to do something, you just do it.
No, I'm not going to agree with that wholeheartedly. But
when you start yelling at cops, that is usually, and I'm not saying Tyreek Hill was in the right or the wrong here, but anybody starting to yell back at cops, that is usually, and I've seen this online, you know, black or white, they're like, hey, stop. And then they do put you in handcuffs and detain you. Obviously, Tyreek is pissed because he's just on his way to the stadium. I'm not saying that it's right, but it this
you
sucks. Like,
un-American
this happens,
cop-hating
unfortunately,
bastards.
When you deal with police, like, if you start yelling back at them, no matter who you are, you will probably end up in handcuffs for a bit. And this isn't right. These cops look like idiots, but this is unfortunately what you deal with. And obviously, Tyreek doing nothing other than driving to the stadium just makes it way worse.
Well, again, play devil's advocate. What if Tyreek Hill said that, F you, you piece of S cops, you are not going to do anything to me. And then the cops are like, oh, all right.
Freedom of speech, man.
Well,
is that in the,
yeah, but like I have.
Didn't their bosses write that?
Yeah, because I would love to imagine being like, oh, well, he's got a point. I don't think we can do
not a point, but I could say it. Like, it's not. Yeah, I'm just saying again.
Step out of the car, sir.
Yes.
No. Can you step out of the car, sir? No.
And that is
for speeding. For speeding.
But if they tell you to step out of the car and you say no, you are not complying. And I'm not saying it's right, but still, at that point, you are not complying with a police officer, and it's just. This is a
I will
crappy
say,
situation.
The video that is going around with Tyreek Hill face down
it's
on
not
the
favorable for
that's
me.
No,
that is seems excessive to put
very
it
very.
Like
nice
I'm saying, I don't know. I didn't hear a recording of what was said between police officers and Tyreek Hill. So all I can go off of is what I actually kind of saw, and I saw one of those officers kind of like rush him to the ground a little bit. So it's like.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
there's audio going around. Apparently, Drew Rosenhaus, who's Tyreek Hill's agent, he did an interview with Jeff Darlington in the stadium. And apparently, Drew Rosenhaus said that, quote, Tyreek was telling the police officers there, I want to be a police officer in the future.
That's kind of awesome.
I don't believe that at all. As he's getting arrested.
Drew would lie.
Drew, yeah. Next question.
He's on the up and up.
Next question.
He's getting arrested and thrown. I want to be one of you. Stop this, please. Yeah. I'm one of you guys.
I can see that. I can see that. He seems like he thinks Tyreek Hill would be a great cop. You're not getting away from him. You're not running away from him.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great cop.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm gonna bank on that did not happen. Tyreek Hill trying to tell the police officer, I want to be a cop one day.
Why are you doing this? Yes, I'm for certain that did not happen.
Oh, my God. So Tyreek Hill, yeah, he was detained. He was released. He is going to play today and expect him to go off for like 250 receiving yards. Is that what would he put in the over under at? 200?
Oh man, I think he's gonna against Jacksonville.
I mean, this is setting up for him to just go off.
I think he's gonna break records today.
It's like the Scottie Scheffler thing. Like when got arrested, he ended up going, like, I don't think he won the tournament, but he went off that very next day on that Friday. He shot like a 6 under or something like that.
By the way, all these cops should be fired. There's another 6 second video or so, kind of a cop coming up closer on the, a driver coming up closer to the cops on the side of the street where this is taking place. And you can see a police officer kicking Tyreek Hill while he's on the ground. That's ridiculous. If a person's already complying, cops need to stop acting like
he
was hero asses.
He was kicking him.
He kicked him. He literally, you can see there is Tyreek Hill there on the ground behind one of the cop's motorcycles, and you can see the foot of a police officer. I'm just going off of what I'm seeing on this video, but oh my God, all of these guys should be fired and prosecuted.
Jordan Schultz is going Zapruder film on the Twitter videos. I did not see any sort of kicking, nor did I hear there is no reports of any actually violence or anything like that.
Well, it's because this just happened an hour and a half ago. It's a this fantasy football know-it-alls is the tweeter that put this video out.
What is the tweet?
The fantasy football know-it-alls. I'm just citing the. I mean, the video's got millions of views already. I'm just citing the account that it's on.
Is that run by Adam Schefter by chance?
No, Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah, this is the same video that I saw, and I don't know. Again, if we're going to go Zapruder film breakdown frame by frame, I didn't see him kicking him. There's a longer version of that video that you're talking about, Jordan, where that cop who runs up on him, I think they're just telling him to sit down, and Tyreek's not sitting down, so he grabs him by the shoulders, and then...
No, he's already on the ground, and there. This is a very short, this is a 6 second clip.
I mean,
we're kind of Zaprudering this, but these cops just look like a-holes.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm gonna, you know...
Simply put, come on.
And there's no way, like, you know why he's speeding. Let's be real, he's probably headed to the facility, right? Headed to the stadium or something like that, and... Not one of those officers was like, well, yeah, we know who you are. We know you got to get to the.
Well, who was the baseball player that tried to use his card?
That would be Jason Wirth.
That would also be.
No, it was someone else.
Quintel Woods did the same thing here.
Yeah, that's right. Quintel, you're right on that. There was a baseball player who did that. I don't know if it was. I don't think it was Marcell Ozuna. But there was an MLB player who definitely tried to do the. Do you know who I am?
Outfielder?
Braves?
Ozzie Albies?
Yes, I believe so.
Who got pulled over for Dewey? Like, oh, everything's good? Yeah, that's exactly who it was, Ozzie Albies.
Yeah.
But Jason Wirth, during spring training for the Mariners before he retired, did get pulled over by cops there and just pulled out his MLB courtesy card and said, hey, I'm a major leaguer.
Friend Quintel Wood gave him his Franz Bakery card. You know, I don't know if you remember when Franz used to put basketball cards in the in the bread.
Yeah.
So little Blazer cards.
He used a Franz card.
That's the one Quintel Woods gave.
Can we defend Quintel a little bit there? Because the first ask from the officer was, do you have your identification on you?
I don't know.
Quintel said no. And then
here's my Franz player card.
No. The next question was, do you have anything to prove who you are? And he's like, Well, yeah. I got a pack of Franz like bakery.
I have a basketball card here.
It does say my height and weight on it, officer.
There you go.
And where I'm from, technically, so.
And I don't know if you see that points per game there, but yeah, I had a pretty good season in 2004.
Yeah. Could get you some ticks.
Seriously, I know a guy.
I'm pretty sure that also we have to go, but this might have to be corroborated. I think I heard one time that one Jason Sukanik tried to pull that on a cop. Jason Sukanik, Big Sook by chance? I feel like I have heard him say this one time. Yeah. And I feel like, Sook? Local radio funny man. I don't know if that is someone that can pull that card on anyone.
Do you know who I am? Do you know?
I don't think it was, do you know who I am? I think it was kind of like a hint, hint, nudge, nudge, like, by chance, I think it might have actually worked out for him.
Yeah, I mean, cops and taxi drivers are always in the car, or an Uber driver, right? Those are the people I think you could get away with being like, hey, I'm a radio guy or gal.
On the Vancouver Ford text line, imagine what would happen if Tyreek wasn't an idiot. Yeah, I mean, his past decision making probably doesn't help him a whole lot in this, but also again, if you've seen the videos, it's like seems a little excessive for a reckless driving. Guys jump into a lot of conclusions. Might want to dial it back until you have a couple details. Tyreek did punch his pregnant girlfriend in the stomach. Let's not act like you know how this went down.
I said I'm not going into anything,
and I'm not gonna. Sorry, Jordan, I'm not gonna really.
It's okay.
Believe fantasy football know-it-alls as far as
the video has been. It's on other ones too. I'm just seeing the source that it seemingly has the most views from. But I totally hear that. It's frustrating to see though if that is true.
Hey, let's make some picks. All right, first year of Who Do You or the first week of Who Do You Love? Let's dive right into it. Last year, Rashad and I tied because Ludacris decided he wanted to show up at halftime, which is the most bullshit reason for him to end up tying the Who Do You Love records to end the year. Unacceptable. But let's get into the first rendition of Who Do You Love. We make our picks before this NFL Sunday starts in just 12 minutes. Dear God, we made it, baby. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
There we go. Let's make some picks.
Let's do it.
Let's win some Monopoly money, baby. I'll start things off.
Go for it.
I am going, I foreshadowed it earlier because I can't imagine that these two teams combined for over 41.5. Vikings versus Giants. Daniel Jones versus Sam Darnold at quarterback. Daniel Jones has, the lowest touchdown prop total this year. I think it's now set at like 16.5 or something. And then Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold. This Minnesota Vikings team, where they're going to get their offense from, dear God only knows. I am taking the under Giants-Vikings 41.5.
Ooh, that's a good one, man. I'm looking at this Rams visiting the Lions. It's going to be at Ford Field. Lions are favored by 4.5. The over-under, it looks like the highest over-under of any game remaining this week at 52.5. I know, right? I'm definitely taking the under. I still think that the Rams have some stuff to work out. I think the Lions are going to be on an FU tour to get back to the Super Bowl. So I'm taking I'm definitely taking the under. But
the under 52.5?
Yes, indeed.
All right, it's locked in. Jordan.
Yeah, Bengals-Patriots look pretty tasty to me. It is a bit of a trap line with the Bengals being favored at 7.5, but I see this as a 10-point win for the Bengals. Hoping, you know, this isn't screwed up by, like, some last-second field goal by the Patriots in the final seconds. But I do think that the offense for Cincinnati is just too strong. Joe Burrow has a lot to prove coming back from injury, and the Patriots suck. They got Brissett under center. They got nobody to help
him. Kobe solid.
Exactly. So I don't think they're going to score that much. Bengals, 7.5.
I am going to the ATL, Steelers versus Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are a 4-point favorite. They are going to cover. Justin Fields now the starting quarterback. for the Steelers today. I feel like it's going to be a lot of chaos for that Pittsburgh Steelers offense, as we saw during the preseason. And this will be the first week that we see Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, and I think it's going to be a good first week for them. Put the league on notice, putting their division on notice, the conference on notice, everybody on notice that this offense isn't to be messed with. Falcons covering the -4.
I'm going to go with Miami hosting Jacksonville, and I think Miami is favored 3.5. The over-under is, what is it, 49.5? I think Tyreek Hill is going to put up 35, you know, on his own today. Seriously, I think he's going to go absolutely nuts. But I am going to take the under on this one.
Let's see. His receiving yards prop line right now, oh boy, at 97.5.
Yeah, I think for week one, I think that's incredibly low today, considering what just happened to him.
All right, so you're taking the Dolphins to cover?
Yes, I am.
-3.5.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Chargers Raiders spread is low. Chargers are only a 3-point favorite. I feel like that is another trap by Vegas. I don't think Gardner Minshew. I mean, can the stash lead them to a win in week one and get Raider Nation going? No. Jim Harbaugh, are you kidding me? Against Las Vegas, his first time out, it's going to be a cakewalk. Chargers going to kill. They're going to be winning by way more than 3 today.
And forgive me, what was your first pick so I can put that in?
First pick was the, oh God, I can't remember already. Patriots losing to the, whoever they're playing, because it doesn't matter.
The Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals, they're going to cover the 7.5-point spread. That's what it was.
Bengals covering the 7.5. Yes, it does help that the Bengals have Ja'Marr Chase playing today as well. Bengals,
oh, they could
minus
do it without
7.5.
I'm serious, man. This New England team, I don't have faith in Gerard Mayo. I just don't. Sounds like there's been some trouble communicating through training camp there.
I don't like your tone when talking about,
sorry bro,
this team. I'm just saying, man.
My initial thoughts were probably going to go for this Cowboys Browns game. The over under only at 41.5. So I mean, what is that, a 24-17 final? That would be the under. Even if we go 27-17, 27-20, I mean, that's hitting the over. That was my initial thought. But after Googling Tyreek Hill prop bets and seeing that he is at a over under 97.5 yard for receiving yards, I am taking the over. Tyreek Hill over 97.5 yards after the morning he has had. We are getting to Scottie Scheffler 2.0 right here, that once you get detained before a big sporting event, you end up going off. And so Tyreek Hill over 97.5 yards. The correlation is there, right?
I think so. Why not?
All right. There's my three. Rashad, last one.
I'm going Colts. Colts over Houston. You know, I mentioned it.
Just money line? Just straight up? Or them covering the spread?
No. So I'm looking at the spread, and Houston is favored by 3. However, like, the over-under is like 48.5. I don't really see the Colts scoring that much unless, you know, again, unless Houston's going to put up 42 and maybe somebody can score a touchdown on the Colts in or something like that. But let me take that back. Houston's going to win this game. Houston's favored by 3. I think they're going to win a lot more than 3. But yeah, I think I'm going to take that over under.
Taking the over under?
Yes, I am.
I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the under.
Taking the under. Okay. Sure. Texans, Colts under.
I'm looking at this and like, yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
All right.
Either of you take the Bears Titans yet?
No.
All
right. Go for it, bud.
Yeah, looking at that, Chicago, a 4-point favorite at this point. It's a 10 a.m. kick here coming up in a couple of minutes. And I think sexy new age Matt Eberflus now, the hot dad new coach, for the Chicago Bears.
This is like his third year.
Yeah, but he's a new man. He's hot now. He's a good-looking stud, and that means that the Chicago Bears are going to be good. Okay, all jokes aside, excited to see Caleb Williams' debut. And frankly, I'm just not sure that the Titans under new coach Brian Callahan and his first game for them is going to be able to keep up, and they're just going to have too many weapons on offense that we're going to see. It's kind of going to be that week one. I bet you they start off like 3-0. It's going to be awesome starts for the Bears before some later season troubles, but Bears win by way more than 4 today.
All right.
I say a touchdown, 7.
So I got Giants, Vikings under 41.5, Falcons -4 covering Tyreek Hill over 97.5. Rashad, you got Lions, Rams under 52.5.
Yep.
Dolphins covering the 3.5. Texans, Colts under. And then Jordan, you got the Chargers covering the 3, Bengals covering the 7.5, and the Bears covering the 4. All right, they are locked in. We are 2 minutes away. 2 minutes away from the first NFL Sunday, week 1 of the season. And we will take a break and start getting into college football because we had the Ducks, we had the Beavers, we had a top 5 upset in college football. We had some other teams kind of struggle around the league that I want to reference as well, because while the Ducks are catching a lot of flack, rightfully so, it was an interesting week for some of the top teams in the college football landscape. And we might have to bring up that Nebraska-Colorado game as well, because my God.
Yeah.
We get to college football next. Stick with us while you watch your NFL football. Right here, Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
Dude, 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 dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. Want to do an interview with me? No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number 2, Sports Sunday, Football Sunday. And boy, these nips right now, they could cut sheetrock because we are kicking off.
Here we go.
NFL Week 1, Sunday NFL Week 1 right now. Very anticlimactic kickoffs because of the new kickoff rule. I will say, there's something about all the dudes running to start the kickoff. And here we go. Week 1 has begun.
Yeah,
and those guys just
player,
hauling balls down the field.
Player safety and concussions.
Well, if it was about player safety, they probably just wouldn't play the game of football. But
probably.
We're playing football. We've got football on the TV, Red Zone. Hopefully you have football on your TV, but also us on your radio dial or Odyssey app or the YouTube stream, however you are listening.
Cowboys line's moving, by the way. I've seen it's already been taken half a point down on a lot of books from 2.5 to 2. I feel like that Dak contract making people bet Dally.
Well, I mean, the fact that Cleveland was a favorite, I was like somewhat surprised about
really?
That. But I mean, being a home favorite, but I could see Cowboys winning that for sure. I mean, but we shall see. I'm intrigued by that game because of the Myles Garrett aspect and seeing how either Tyler Guyton or Terrence Steele does against them on the left side or right side, depending on where Myles Garrett lines up. If he's got to go against the young rookie tackle, Tyler Guyton, I'm intrigued to see how the first-round pick for the Cowboys does against him. But I digress. This is college football we're talking about. I think I mentioned earlier about needing a cigarette or maybe taking up smoking. The Ducks might just make me do that. They might just make... Last night's game... / broadcast, just exhausting. I mean, yes, because of a 7 o'clock kickoff, but oh my God, just the ups and downs of that game. Thinking that at 27-20, after the Ducks scored on the punt return touchdown, they got that to take the lead, and then they go and get the ball back, and you're like, all right, let's step on their throats, let's finish this off. And then Patrick Herbert fumbles the ball. And Boise State scores on the very next play on a 70-yard touchdown. Then the next drive, Dylan Gabriel gets the ball snapped at him when he's not expecting it, then fumbles it. And then a few plays later, Boise State scores and then takes the lead, followed by a kickoff return. Like, that game was just, it was drunk, high, crossfaded, all of it. And then the Peacock broadcast just did no favors
at
all.
Oh, my gosh.
My God. That was driving me up the wall.
Can you fill me in on that? Because I was on the radio, so I can only I saw it, but I didn't hear what was
getting,
going
like,
on.
Almost like not blackouts, but it kept kind of, screen kept going dark for a little bit.
The cameras were cutting out.
The cameras were messing up.
The, like, audio would get messed
like, everything
up.
About it
the
was,
cameras sometimes were just pointed in the wrong direction.
Oh,
they would
I
have
did.
To, something else. They'd have to like zoom out doing? And readjust.
I it was did just... catch, I think it was Sappington's first field goal, the chip shot, the 23-yarder. They had the wrong camera angles that we're talking about where they had to zoom in at the last second to that is pretty bush league.
Dude, it was just an absolute mess. Like, the one good thing about the Peacock broadcast was that the cameras and the resolution, extremely nice. Like, I remember in years past, people complaining about ESPN having the games that look like they were filmed on potatoes and just being super pixelated and not good resolution and quality. So I will give them that, is that they're using really nice cameras on Peacock for the game. But with that being said, That game last night was just so damn exhausting. And usually, I will say this, usually Oregon loses those type of games. Like, in years past, that's a game that Oregon is probably end up losing. And that is how it was starting to feel at one point, especially after the fumble when they went up 27-20. And then Boise State scored on the next play. Like, it was just such a roller coaster of emotions. And for the second straight week against a team from the state of Idaho, and I said this earlier in the show, but I hereby decree that we never play a team from the state of Idaho again. Whether it's the Vandals, whether it's Boise State, whether it's the Coeur d'Alene School for the Blind, whoever it is from Idaho, do not put them on the schedule going forward for the next forever. Don't do it. But two straight weeks of the Ducks, as Derek Carr and the Saints, they start off with a big touchdown.
My Saints.
Oh, my God.
Derek Carr, MVP.
And Derek Carr wins MVP.
It's coming.
But the Ducks, they eerily squeak by Boise State in a great game, back and forth. But my God, like I said, get me a pack of Marlboro immediately.
It was a great game. If you're not an Oregon Duck, like if you're not on the team, if you are on the team, like, this game was tough and this game was not good because there were certain, you just couldn't execute. That offensive line is an issue. Like, I think that there's some real problems.
Well, I will say
for the Ducks on that offensive line, and it's not going to get easier.
Well, they did make some changes on the offensive line mid game yesterday, and it seemed to help a bit, but there was still just mistakes made by everybody on the team on the offensive side. And again, it got better, but that unit is going to be under a magnifying glass, under a microscope the entire year.
But I mean, the defense, who played well last week, but against, you know, lesser, or I guess an inferior opponent. I think most of us would consider them an inferior opponent.
Hey, Idaho got a big win against Wyoming
they
yesterday,
did.
Okay?
They did, because Wyoming is a juggernaut, right? And so, but Boise State's one of those teams that, again, Oregon's never beaten them. Like, I mean, they're just one of those thorn-in-the-side type of teams. We all remember the LeGarrette Blount punch. You know, back in, what was that, 2008?
2009.
Like
Byron
Hout. Yeah. So we all kind of, you know, remember that. And I think that was the last, wasn't the last time they played, but that was the last memory that I have of really Boise State.
The Vegas Bowl 2017.
Yeah, we got, you know, beat so bad that, you know, we stole on them at the end of the game. Like, that's kind of how that went. And it looked like some Ducks players wanted to steal on some Boise State players yesterday, because Oregon just, whenever it seemed like they had an advantage, Boise State just punched back. And Austin Genty, what couldn't he do yesterday? He did everything. Every time he touched the rock, it was pretty much either to the house or close to it, or gave a big, your heart kind of skipped a beat a little bit when he got the ball. Like, they played a great game. And Oregon played a great game in certain regards, too. You know, Jordan James ran the ball pretty well. Obviously, Evan Stewart had a big game through the air. So it's like, there are certain things that went well for the team, but you're just looking, it's like third downs, not being able to convert. Like, that sucked. To hear the Autzen crowd boo was weird.
I mean,
that was a weird thing. Like, to hear them, like, get to the point
in September. Yeah.
And then here's my thing. The same thing we used to talk about. Remember Arroyo, the former offensive coordinator for the Ducks. It's the same thing that,
yeah, Marcus Arroyo,
we need to start, you know, will you have a Heisman candidate and Dylan Gabriel there? Take some shots. Like, and then you got these receivers that are just so incredibly fast. Like, I'm glad they took some shots at the end of the game. Like, Dylan Gabriel was 18 for 21, and those three that he missed on, those three deep balls, like,
towards the end.
You get those, then, you know, he probably has damn near, you know, a perfect game, you know, passing the ball. But I just feel like you just need to take some chances. Like, and I feel like you're playing very, very conservative, and you don't have to. I think you got the dogs on your side to really make things happen. And I feel like they're just playing very, very safe and conservative. And I don't know how well that's going to work in this Big Ten.
Well, there was a lot of like WTF moments yesterday as well. The one drive that they had where I believe it was after they went up 27-20, maybe it was 20-20 at that point. I don't remember, but basically, they were in their own territory. They got a holding penalty, and it backed them up to 1st and 20. And then they just handed the ball off up the middle just three times in a row. And it was very just like, that's it? Like, it felt very much like we don't trust our offensive line to hold up to give Dylan Gabriel enough time to make a play. So we're just going to run the ball and play the field position battle and then kick the ball off. And then they had a drive later on where it was that hook and ladder play that they ran.
Yeah.
And then that was immediately followed up by the two overthrows by Dylan Gabriel. And it was just like, it just felt clunky. It felt not... And then what was the other play to convert the 3rd and 1 where they had Terrence Ferguson go in motion and then like line up under the center? It's like, you guys, what? Stop it.
And then just catch like a little flat. Like, I was like, man, what's happening now?
It's very confusing. It just felt very, like I said, clunky and just like, dude, what the hell are we doing? What is going
on?
To all of this?
There was so much that went on in that play. It was like, what's happening?
I think the commentators even said, they're like, that was a lot of work for just 2 yards there. I agree.
I mean, it worked, but was that the plan?
I guess.
Yeah. It was just, there's so much to clean up with this offense. Defense, I thought, played pretty well. It was just they put him in bad positions a couple of times. And then Ashton Gentry, he is an absolute beast. Like, that dude already has 9 touchdowns in 2 weeks of football. And, like, he has multiple 70-yard touchdown runs already on the season. So he was going to get his. Last week he had a huge game. So I just knew that he was going to be a threat for this Boise State team. But defense, I thought, played pretty well and really played well when they needed to, especially. They come up with some big stops, but, man, this offense is just not putting them in the best positions. And this offensive line, like I said, it is going to be under scrutiny for the entire year.
And so last week when we spoke, you know, and we were talking about the season and everything, and I was saying, man, Oregon State, you would think it's going to be sweet, and they're just going to go into Corvallis and just run over them. 2 weeks now, we've seen the Ducks go against teams that should be on paper clearly better than, and it's been a struggle. You mean to tell me that they're just Oregon State don't have no chance? Oregon State beat Colorado State yesterday, or excuse me, San Jose State yesterday, 21-0. You know, no problem. Or San Diego State, who they play? Yeah, San Diego State, 21-0, not a problem. You don't think they can handle their own against this Ducks team, this current iteration of this Ducks team? You don't think Oregon State's going to be able to hang with them? Hey man, that game scares me now.
It wasn't just the offense, too, that had issues. The defense was obviously a lot better, but that roughing the passer penalty by Jordan Birch kind of set them up for a touchdown. And then there was also, I think in the second or third quarter, a pass that kind of went right through Cameron Camper's hands or kind of off his fingertips that was another touchdown for Boise State. And then on the other side, if Oregon hadn't scored those two special teams touchdowns, the punt return by Tez Johnson and then the 100-yard kickoff return for Tutty by Noah Whittington that actually is credited to Jaden Lamar because he picked it up in the end zone after Noah let it go. I mean, that if it weren't for that, Oregon would not have won the game. And I made the point last night on the postgame show that it was just a very rare way for any team to win a game. And if that happens again, Oregon is not going to win, period.
Or dropping the ball at the goal line. Like, mind you, if they say that that's not a touchdown for whatever reason during the return.
Well, I mean, regardless of if he dropped it or not, a Oregon player picked it up like immediately.
Yeah. After,
yeah. And so it was credited to him. If nobody picked it up, I think it's left at like that spot, like the half yard line or the yard line.
I think it's those like little mental mistakes that, you know, Oregon was good for making throughout the game. The holding penalties, whenever those run plays would happen, it's like, oh, that's a huge chunk right there. And then, no, it's got to come back because holding. So I think there's just some things that need to be worked out. And with it being a rivalry game and with Oregon State losing that last rivalry game, man, I don't love the Ducks, you know, chances of just going squeaking through the season without two losses in it.
Yeah, a lot needs to be improved by the time they get to conference play. Like, this team ain't beating Ohio State the way that they played last couple of games. They've got Oregon State, then they'll get a bye, then they'll take on UCLA, and then they'll take on Michigan State, which Michigan State, they got their first conference win, Jonathan Smith getting his first conference win in the Big Ten as head coach of Michigan State, beating Maryland yesterday. It's just a lot to be desired with this Oregon Ducks team, especially on the offensive side. They got a lot to work out. And we will see what happens next week in Corvallis. And that is where we head next, is to the team just a few minutes north of Eugene, Oregon State Beavers, 2-0. We get to that next year. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with this. Oh, no. No SportsCenter update. We'll do that in a little bit. We'll do the Beavers first. Coming up next, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, week one. NFL Sunday is officially underway. Quick look at the scoreboard. Cardinals already up 7-0 on the Bills. Giants kick a field goal. They're up 3-0. Saints have hit double digits. They're up 10-0 after Bryce Young threw an interception. I did not see what exactly happened, but first pass attempt of the season for Bryce Young is intercepted. So
shocking.
Things are going great there. And then what else we got there? Atlanta kicked a field goal, 3-0. Houston kicked a field goal, 3-0. And those are the only scores, points on the board so far.
Remember all the people spending hours explaining why Bryce Young was going to be a good NFL quarterback?
I mean, he is one pass of the season.
I think he's going to be okay. I think when you're in a situation like that,
he's too short.
It's tough. It's tough. So is Kyler Murray. He's making plays out there. Like,
yeah, he's one of like five to do it in history. Kyler's the exception to the rule, not
the
rule.
Hey, I'm saying I think those days of being like too short to play certain positions. Like, I don't know.
Dylan Gabriel proved that last night. His passes kept getting tipped by the defensive line of Boise State.
He was 18 for 21 on the night though. So it's even still like he hit every blade of grass out there except for a couple deep balls. So. You know, some short kings can get it done out there.
I don't know. I just feel like we have seen many times over quarterbacks being counted out. You know, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, or two of them that after two seasons, almost three seasons.
Baker Mayfield.
That they suck. Oh, hey, one of the Steelers players wearing a Guardian cap. That's the first time I've seen that.
I like it.
Oh, cool.
Man, good for him looking out for his health.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of hearing the dudes be like, oh, he looks stupid. You know what? You know what looks stupid? Not being able to function when you're 50. That looks pretty stupid.
He's a pansy. I don't know why he has that offensive lineman. He's nut tough. But I don't know. Like, we've seen it time and time again. Quarterbacks are claimed they suck after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And then when you know it, they don't suck. They actually are pretty good because they just need to learn the NFL game. Bryce Young, not a great start. One pick already. What is a great start, though, is the Oregon State Beaver season. How about that? 2-0,
awesome,
baby.
Awesome start.
Yeah.
Slap the tails. Build the dam, baby. Let's go. 21-0 victory over San Diego State. I believe first road shutout since like 1938 or something like that for Oregon State.
Didn't they win a championship sometime in the 30s?
Oregon State?
Yeah, didn't they? When was their national championship?
That's Oregon winning at like a basketball championship, I think, is what you're thinking of. The first ever NCAA Final Four champion were the Oregon Ducks, but I don't think in football either has won anything.
Yeah, no. I feel like that would definitely be common
knowledge.
Didn't
Crawford make like a documentary about that team?
No, they just beat really good teams.
I mean, maybe like Crawford, Oregon Agricultural College in like 1910 won something.
Crawford's documentary as Josh Allen fumbles and Cardinals recover. No, Crawford made a documentary about the Giant Killers, how the Beavers just went and beat a bunch of really good teams back in like the 60s or 70s or something like that, where they played a bunch of like top five teams and they just kept beating them.
Hell yeah.
Which is what Oregon State does, is they are giant killers. But San Diego State is not a giant. but they did work them 21-0 yesterday. San Diego State did not even have 200 total yards.
No, they struggled.
San Diego State, they've had some good years, but as far as this iteration of San Diego State, I don't think they're a very good team this year. I don't expect them to be very good, but the Beavers going down there and imposing their will on the defensive side. The offense, it took them a little bit to get going. I think it was 7-0, like halfway into the third quarter. Offense a little bit left to be desired there. We'll see how it develops throughout the season. Jam Griffin they both go for about 65, 70 yards rushing, get a
89 and 71 respectively.
Thank you. Giovanni McCoy is coming into his own as the starting quarterback of the Oregon State Beavers. But good win for the Beavs, especially on the defensive side.
The Beavs are they're starting to put it together. You know, I think last year was a huge, huge stepping stone for them. And they're looking around and saying that they could be one of those teams to compete. I hope they stay independent. I'm pretty sure they'll get swooped up by some conference here, you know, within the coming years. But that 200-headed monster at running back is a problem. And we've seen the Ducks in the past couple weeks struggle with really stopping the run, you know, at this point. So Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson are off to a great start already. Both of them put up tutties yesterday. Giovanni McCoy, like you mentioned, is starting to really kind of come into his own a little bit. Still a lot to learn, but I think you like what you've seen from him thus far. Not top tier opponents they've played over the past couple of weeks, but they've got two quality wins in a row. And I think that's a great start if you're Oregon State. And now you go into, you finally got, this is the first time, and I'm not sure what scheduling used to be like, you know, rivalry week, if they always played at the end of the year, you know, historically. But this is one of the first times that you're going to get a healthy Ducks team, a healthy Beavs team playing each other, you know, before we even get to midseason. Nice weather.
Like
every time we see Ducks Beavs, it's cold, it's wet, it's rainy, it's right before Thanksgiving or right around the Thanksgiving time and stuff like that. Like,
oh man, I was freezing my balls off at Autzen Stadium last year.
It's uncomfortable as a fan sometimes to go to those games because it's just so cold outside and so wet outside. Like, but now you get these guys, they get to play in potentially 75, 80 degree weather, you know, next Saturday. Like, that's huge, you know, for Oregon State, you know, as far as not having to play in any elements and stuff. So I don't know, man. I'm liking what I've seen from this Beavs team so far, and we've seen the Beavs be the Ducks' kryptonite. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but judging the way we've seen the Ducks play the last 2 weeks, it would not shock me if Oregon State punched him in the mouth.
Do you want to guess what the betting line opened at a couple weeks ago and what it is now for the Oregon State Civil War game, which is so
I'm probably going to say what Ducks,
what it started at and what it is now.
I was going to say Ducks minus, I'm going to say 10.
It was bad. I think it was like a minus like 28 or something like that. No, it was a crazy line from what I remember.
I was going to say like Ducks minus 10, minus 12, something like that.
The Ducks were minus 19.5 over Boise State before last week. So
a couple weeks ago, the Ducks were a 20.5 point favorite.
There you go.
Over Oregon State. The spread for the game next week is now at, I believe, 14.5.
Oh, yes.
That's huge, man. That's 14.5.
Ducks cover, baby.
That's, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know about that. That seems like they won last game, first game of the season by 10. You win yesterday by 3.
I'm feeling like, a 45-14 game, something like
that's
that.
That's what you hope.
Ducks victory.
That's what you hope. But I think this Beavers team is fired up and ready to go. And the way that Ducks team walked off the field yesterday, some of them like, yeah, they don't look super, super confident.
Yeah, as far as the momentum, the optimism in each of these locker rooms, I would say that Oregon State definitely has the mojo right now after their first two games. I mean, Idaho State, you know, take it for what you will, but they took care of business against them. The game last night, San Diego State, as far as your defense goes, you have got to feel very optimistic about what you're seeing from that side of the ball.
Absolutely.
I mean, shutting down any FBS school to under 200 yards total is one thing, but San Diego State, you know, a somewhat better program, obviously not a blue blood, not a Power 5 team, but have had some good years in the past. Shutting them down like that, that's got to feel great for Trent Berry and this team. Yeah, next week, This matchup definitely got a lot more interesting over the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Coming into the season, we didn't know what it was going to look like. Oregon State is definitely going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, you want to talk about motivation. Oregon State has all of the motivation in the world for this
one.
All of it. Oregon, they have motivation, too, just to show everybody in the country that we aren't who we've been the last couple of weeks. First time is an accident. Second time is a coincidence. Third time, you are who you are at this point. So if they're going to let Oregon State hang around, if this is as close as it was last night, then it's going to be trouble. And that place, that Corvallis, the Beaver Stadium, it's going to be absolutely rocking next week.
Yeah, it's a small stadium too, super super small. If you've never been to Reser, like, it's almost like a high school stadium in some regards, just a bit based on the way it looks and stuff. But it can get pretty loud in there pretty fast. So hopefully it's a great game. But again, if I'm a Ducks fan, I'm not super super confident going into it.
Yeah, I hope it's a great game too. But expect 45-14, baby. Lock it in.
Let's see it. Put that down. That's one of your. That's one of your.
No,
who you love? Yeah.
Nope. We're past that segment. It's over. It can't do it anymore. As Kirk Cousins throws an interception.
Call for Michael Penix.
Like, yes, here we go. That's just one.
Yeah, just to look at the scoreboard real quick before we take a break. But actually, let's not take away Jordan Schultz's responsibility. Let's have him do a SportsCenter update next and give you some updates on some NFL scores going down. Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with a SportsCenter update. Quick update on NFL football. Anthony Richardson, my God, what a touchdown pass.
Jeez Louise, man.
Jump on the social medias and find that clip immediately. That dude.
Cannon.
Dear Lord. That was one of those huck it up and pray, and prayer was answered.
Good to see him balling out.
My God. I am I'm flummoxed right now.
A lot of expectation from that young man.
All right. Let's take a look at the college football landscape, because there were some other games that went down. I want to start off with this because I was insanely impressed by what I saw from the Texas Longhorns yesterday against Michigan. I don't know if it was one of those I asked at one point on Twitter. I was like, is Texas this good or is Michigan this bad? Yes.
It's a little bit of both.
The answer is yes, but Texas bullied Michigan. That offensive line for Texas is a problem. And Quinn Ewers, great game for him. Looks like Texas has a two-headed monster at running back. They got dudes all over skill positions out there. I mean, Texas right now, lock them in for a playoff spot. Because,
oh, for sure.
I mean, I don't know as far as SEC. I mean, and it's so weird saying that, you know, they could be a favorite to win the SEC. I mean, Georgia is still Georgia. We'll see. I mean, what Georgia did in week one against Clemson was impressive as well. But give me Georgia, Texas in the SEC championship game. That is a insane matchup right there. I mean, that was just impressive as all hell. As Derek Carr throws another touchdown, Saints are up 17-0.
Screw you, Joe.
What are you talking about?
MVP.
My fake scenario. It was my fake scenario that I came up with, Derek Carr being MVP. All right.
But you said it. You were real kind of like condescending about it. Like you didn't really believe it.
Had faith in him.
Yeah.
Right. Look at you. Place the bet now, Joe.
I was watching some of this game yesterday, and, you know, I expected it to be kind of a boxing match, you know, between two highly ranked teams. And Davis Warren was – I'm not going to say he was exposed. I don't think that's fair to say. He didn't have a great game.
No.
You know, threw a couple picks. He only had 200.
It might be
yards.
Orgy time in Michigan.
It potentially is, and that's going to be a lot of fun to say.
Yeah.
You know, every single play.
Get the buffet
Saturday.
Ready. It's time for orgy
it's
in
time
Michigan.
For the orgy.
A Michigan
yeah.
orgy.
Yeah. But when you look over at Texas, like, they were just able to do everything the right way. Quinn Ewers was amazing, and you could even say it was probably like his statement game.
He's now the favorite to win the Heisman,
and rightfully so. And the best part is Texas going out into the middle of the field and planting their flag, or trying to plant their flag.
I always love when they try to do that on a turf field.
Yeah, it's like, it's not going to work like that. But I get the sentiment that you're making. But I think that meant more than just to Michigan, but let the rest of the country know that, no, Texas is here. Texas is back. These aren't those same Longhorns from post Vince Young.
Yeah, era. This isn't a cute, ironic Texas is back. It's like, no, they are back.
It looks like they're really ready to play. And so that was an impressive win by the Longhorns.
Yes. Two other games in the top five. Alabama, the score is not indicative of how that game went at all. 42-16 victory over South Florida. Alabama scored 28 points in the fourth quarter. They scored 14 in the last like 5 minutes, it seemed like. They were struggling against South Florida. That was a game that was in question for a little bit. So you want to talk about, you know, top 10 teams that were struggling yesterday, Ducks against Boise State. I don't know where South Florida is as far as national landscape goes. I don't know if they're as good as Boise State. My guess is that they aren't. But Alabama struggled against South Florida in that one. And they ended up pulling away. But that was a top five team that had a hell of a time trying to get past the Bulls of South Florida.
They did. You know, it. And again, the score was indicative. It was 14-6 at half, you know, but Alabama just had a tough time moving the ball. You know, you're so used to seeing this high power.
It was 14-13 in going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So it was just kind of it was a lot closer. Then all of a sudden, Alabama became the Crimson Tide all of a sudden at the end of the game. And what do they say down there? Roll Tide. That's exactly what they did. They pretty much rolled over South Florida. But if you're South Florida, you feel good about that game because, you know, for three quarters, you were right there. And really, if, you know, they just were bigger, faster, stronger at the end of the day and probably better recruits. But what we're seeing is we're seeing like a trend throughout college football, right? Like these teams that are unranked are still really good and are still, you know, a lot of them probably have guys that just things didn't work out. They got in some trouble. They did whatever. And the big school kind of pulled away from them. And then Boise State or South Florida said, no, we'll take you. And so they're really probably some dogs on that South Florida team. And, you know, so close, but so far, you know, Alabama proved who they were at the end of the game, and now they're 2-0.
Also, Ryan Williams for Alabama, 17 years old. And that dude is, he looks like a man already. 207 yards this season, 3 touchdowns.
Oh, he's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, he had one of the touchdowns that basically put the game away, I think put it up 2 possessions yesterday. But the only top five team to lose yesterday, Notre Dame falls to the Northern Illinois Huskies. Ooh, let's go. That game was awesome. 16-14 final. Northern Illinois wins it. Blocked field goals. Northern Illinois blocked a field goal at the end of the first half, and then they blocked the 62-yard field goal attempt by Notre Dame at the end of the game. But Northern Illinois, I think they were 0-whatever against top five teams all time in their school's history. And they come out, and Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame have to explain yet another head-scratching loss at home. They have now lost to Northern Illinois at home. They lost to 3-9 Stanford at home. God, there was one more. There was one more loss that he has on his record at home against a team that they shouldn't have lost to, and it's totally escaping me. But man, Notre Dame, they are this week's Florida State with this loss.
Sure.
Like, just bad loss. Kudos to Northern Illinois, and God, I hate Jason Garrett on the call after the game saying Notre Dame is a better team than Northern Illinois.
Stop.
Well, no, they're not. They just played the game. Northern Illinois beat them.
They are better marketed than Northern Illinois. And really, the best part of the whole game was afterwards, Northern Illinois coach Tom Hamick just so happy and proud of his team that they were able to pull that out against, you know, let's be honest, man, they make movies about Notre Dame. Rudy is like one of the most famous football movies, if not the most famous football movie. I don't think so, but whatever.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there, but no.
I tried to say it wasn't great. Rudy was garbage. Sprague, but I got.
Hey, I cried.
The guy Rudy was trash.
Like, really, the guy himself,
not the movie, the player.
Rudy was trash. Yeah. To quote Family Guy, he got in at the end of the game and got a tackle. No, he was trash.
Yeah, he was trash, but. It was great to see that, you know, that emotion. You know, if you're coaching, if you're playing, there's so much time and effort that goes in to, you know, preparing week to week to week. You know, so many sacrifices you have to make. And this was supposed to be a tune-up game for Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. This is the we'll pay you to beat your ass game. Northern Illinois got $1.2 million out of this.
Yeah, and what do you know? Now then they get to celebrate. So, you know, this is huge for this team. Shout out to Northern Illinois. Shout out to Tom Hamick. Either way, man. great job. That was probably the highlight of the weekend.
If you had to ask me who I think the most clueless coach is in all of college football, I would unfortunately put that definition on Marcus Freeman, coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Every time, I mean, from year one, I think he started in 2021. With Notre Dame, there are just moments where he just doesn't look like he either knows what's going on during the game or just doesn't quite know what to do. And, I mean, he's like a military guy, right? He played college football, military dude. Most successful college football coaches are, you know, military guys. But you just wonder if he actually has what it takes after becoming, you know, like from a linebacker's coach to becoming a head coach, because it just seems like they're just short. And in these kinds of games, you see this over and over again. And trying to hear Jason Garrett like say that this team is better. No, there's a reason that they lost this game. And I think
there's a reason that Jason Garrett is no longer coaching, too.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Him and Marcus Freeman talking about great coaching ideas, at least it seems like. Because, yeah, there is no way that Notre Dame is better under Marcus Freeman. Absolutely not.
One thing I've noticed Jason Garrett doing recently when he's on either the pregame shows or he definitely likes to reference on our Cowboys teams in the 90s, it's like, dude, don't. You were a backup. Just stop. All right. Like,
that's the Dan Orlovsky. You know,
yeah,
it's they love
when
to talk
I, when
about
I was
when
carrying
they were,
Troy Aikman's cream.
Yeah.
It's whoa.
Doing whoa, what yeah, now? Whoa, yeah. I heard that part. I was like,
wait a second.
What, like foot fungus cream?
Oh,
like,
okay.
Not like, okay. not like going to rub it on his feet,
like tough actin connect tonight.
Yeah,
I got to go to the medical room and get Troy Aikman his post game cream.
Okay.
His water bottle.
Please stop saying cream. I beg you.
You see what I'm doing there. Good.
Not good for Marcus Freeman. It was Marshall. He has also lost at home to Marshall since So lost to Marshall, lost to Notre Dame, Stanford at home, and now I lost to Northern Illinois at home. And he said in his press conference, you know, when he was talking about the game, he's like, you know, we've been here before. I'm like, yeah, that's not good. Like,
yeah, like we're used to losing.
The whole, like, we can respond to this, you know, this is a low point, but we can respond. We've been here before. It's like, that's not good that you've been here
before.
You're
just reading up things off of a you know, checklist that coaches are supposed to say after a tough loss.
Yeah, so, yikes.
Proud of my guys. We fought.
No answers. No answers as to why you weren't able to beat an inferior team.
Yeah. Another top 10 team that struggled yesterday, Penn State against Bowling Green. That was Bowling Green was leading the majority of that one. Penn State dodged a bullet there. The Bowling Green Falcons. Did you know that they were the Falcons?
Is that what they are?
The Falcons. They are indeed the Falcons.
Where is Bowling Green?
Bowling Green,
Ohio.
Yes, I think actually, yeah, you might be right on that.
No, I think it's in one of the Midwest states. I think it is Ohio.
Where is Bowling Green? Not Ohio. Kentucky, it says.
Okay, wrong.
Ohio. Wait, hold on. Now I'm getting to Bowling Green, Ohio. Where the hell? I think Jordan might be right. I'm pretty sure it is Ohio. But Penn State barely escapes them 34-27 in that one. So, I mean, you had a couple top 10 teams outside of Oregon struggle against inferior opponents yesterday. So
you got to tell the opponents they're inferior because they're not. They don't see it that way. They say that they can go out there and make something happen.
But well, Oregon. I mean, and granted, I think Oregon had the misfortune of being the only game on at that time. I mean, top 10 teams across the board struggled yesterday with teams that they were supposed to beat, you know, quote unquote handily. I would say out of the South Florida's, Bowling Green, Northern Illinois, and Boise State's, out of those four teams, Boise State is probably the toughest out of all of them as far as most difficult. I mean, Boise State got a couple top 25 votes for this week, so they just missed out on a
well
top
you have
20.
The number one running back in the country, like, it's going to change the perception of your team for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, very fun college football Saturday. There were a lot of games I was watching yesterday. The Arkansas Oklahoma State game, that game was drunk. Kansas State barely escaped Tulane. LSU had to turn it on late against Nicholls State. They were only up 23-21 in the second half at one point. Illinois upsetting Kansas. The Jayhawks go down to their their adjacent state rival there, the Fighting Illini. Oregon will play Illinois on October 26th. Keep note of that at Autzen. Arizona struggled against Northern Arizona. Iowa State, they take care of Iowa in the El Asico, as it's being called now, between those two teams.
The what?
El Asico instead of the El Clasico. El Asico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I get it.
And then Syracuse, they beat Georgia Tech.
Classico.
They beat Georgia Tech 31-28. Kyle McCord, former Ohio State quarterback, now the starter at Syracuse. He had himself a hell of a game there. But fun college football Saturday. As far as next week goes, week three, what matchups do we got there? Arizona, Kansas State. That is a Friday night game, top 25 matchup there. Alabama at Wisconsin at Camp Randall. That will be intriguing. Hopefully that is a good game and a close game there. Also, just scrolling through some other matchups. Notre Dame at Purdue. Purdue, over the years, has had a history of upsetting top 25 teams. I would love to see a 1-2 Notre Dame team going into
that would be awesome.
Week four, losing to Northern Illinois and then Purdue. Let's see some other matchups. Top 25. You get in-state rivalry of Utah State. Outside of those first couple of games, I mean, top 25, a little bit to be desired, but still.
Hey, man.
Football season.
My UNLV Rebels, you know, get a chance to take on number 19 Kansas. UNLV 2-0. This is our chance to move into the top 25 with the 3-0 start. Let's go. I'll take it.
Go Rebs.
Go Rebs.
All right, last segment here. We'll wrap up the show next. Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right. Football? We've got NFL football happening right in front of our very own eyes. Caleb Williams, 5 for 8, 25 yards to start.
Woo!
So, wait. So we're not going to mention Colorado?
5 of 9. We can. I was going to preview these NFL games that we have in the 1 o'clock slate, but we can give Colorado-Nebraska a quick... damn it. Vikings, quit scoring. I took the under.
Sam Darnold doing well. He's got Jay Jeff. Shocking.
For now. And that's just who scored for the Vikings. They are now up 13-3 pending extra point. Yeah, man, Nebraska kicked the living hell out of Colorado yesterday. 28-10 is not indicative of how that game went. I watched about 2.5 quarters of that game. Definitely the first half. And it felt like that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. It was the Nebraska playing Colorado at home and Ducks playing Colorado at home. Like, that's how it felt watching that game. And knowing earlier in the week, I knew that this game was going to happen week two. But then I was like, wait, where's this game at? And it was like, oh, it's in Nebraska. And I'm like, that place is going to be absolutely insane. And it was. That was probably the best environment in college football yesterday. I mean, Nebraska and Colorado is a storied rivalry. Been played since 1890. I don't know if you knew
that. I didn't know that.
My son heard that. He's like, that's not possible. I'm like, dude, I wouldn't. I'd believe it. I mean, like, I don't think they would lie about that. But also, they've been playing this game for a long ass time. A
couple of guys in gross pants and jerseys, you know, kind of just staggering out to the field in the 1890s. Not as much pomp and circumstance, but it happened.
Yes, yes. Playing in a literal cornfield. They couldn't see each other.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Nebraska worked them all game long. Second half was annoying because it turned into a flag fest by the refs, apparently, just throwing flags for both Nebraska and Colorado. Shedeur Sanders got hit late in the game and went to the locker room with about 2 minutes left to go.
Game was over. His feelings were hurt more than anything.
Yeah. It was not a good look, whether it was an injury or not, but doing the whole duck out before the game ends, a LeBron move.
Say that again?
Shedeur Sanders, he got hit late in the game, and then they took him back to the locker room with two and a half minutes left in the game. And so when the teams met at the field, you know, after the game to shake hands, Shedeur Sanders was not out there.
Thank you.
Which is not a good look. And he also asked in his press game conference, how many times did Raiola get touched? You know, in the basically throwing his offensive line under the bus.
Well,
so
come on, Shedeur. Maybe learn how to scramble and work outside the pocket a little bit if you know that's what you've got to deal with, bud.
Now, granted, he doesn't really have a whole lot of time to scramble outside of the pocket. I don't know if you saw. I mean, Nebraska was on that ass.
Yeah, they were coming for him.
You're not wrong.
That was ridiculous. So good for Nebraska. They start off 2-0 first time since 2016. And Colorado, I believe, in-state rivalry game next week against Colorado State, which that game was a banger last year. Hopefully get another one of those.
Colorado State, you know, kind of has Colorado's number, so we'll see.
Shouldn't Shador be throwing his dad under the bus? He's the one that decided on these O-linemen, right?
It's quite possible.
All right?
It's quite possible. 1 o'clock games. Raiders, Chargers, Commanders, Bucks, Cowboys, Browns, and then what you're going to hear the pregame start here right after us in a few minutes, Broncos at Seahawks, which that ran away with the 10 of the fan poll question as far as what people are most excited to see. It's Bo Nix versus the Seahawks. His first start in the NFL going up against the Seahawks in Seattle. That will be a very fun game to watch.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'll have to be switching back and forth between the Browns and Cowboys game to watch that. I just realized this earlier this week, too, is that my girlfriend, she has a wine membership somewhere in like Dayton, Lafayette area.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she booked us for 3:30.
Ugh.
Yeah, so...
So sorry.
Do you have all the apps on your phone?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got YouTube TV,
good.
I mean, yeah. No, it's definitely... someone asked me earlier this week. They're like, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, you know, football, and just now realizing that I have to go wine tasting at 3:30 on Sunday, so...
Shout out to wifey, because she knew today that I'm not doing anything that's not required. It's not based on football.
Well, and I'll, you know, my girlfriend was the last two Saturdays. It has been nothing but football. Last Saturday, she was at my house. I did nothing but watch football. Yesterday, I was at my house, did nothing but watch football, then came to her house and watched football. So, you know, I'll go get some bubbles, you know. But I will have my phone on, and I'm sure I'll get some looks from the high society folks that are there because of my Neanderthal football behavior.
And it's always good, cool when that one other Neanderthal comes over to you. He's like, oh, you got to score of the game.
Oh, dude, what are you watching?
Yeah.
I hope I get a little crowd around me.
Yeah. And then
you guys have a TV I can cast to with this, please?
And all the husbands and boyfriends are over in, you know, at the table or at the bar watching the game on somebody's phone.
Yeah.
It's a bonding experience.
I hope ahead of time. Now, it's not going to happen, but I hope that the winery has a TV ready to go with Red Zone on it.
Oh, yeah. Probably not. But, you know, one can dream. A boy can dream.
I'll have to send in the suggestion, put that in the suggestion box for them going forward. Like, if you guys could have Red Zone going on Sundays going forward, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed this football Sunday. I hope you're enjoying the football season being underway. I mean, like, we made it. This is just, I had a few moments yesterday where I'm like, dude, yes. Like, this is just, football is so great. It is so awesome.
It's awesome. I can't take my eyes off it.
I know. It is enthralling.
Is that a touchdown?
Just right as Rashad says that, the Patriots give up a touchdown.
Jeez, man.
Year. Go Cowboys, but they will disappoint me by season's end, as it usually goes. I hope all of you have a great Sunday out there where you don't have to wine taste. You can just sit on your couch all day. Jordan Schultz, appreciate you as always.
Love you all. Love you guys.
Rashad Taylor, appreciate you. Enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for listening to Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Peace.